Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off the first parak of Maseches Sukkah with parak Aleph, Mishnah Yud Aleph, and then we're going to begin the second parak of Maseches Sukkah with parak Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Parak Aleph, Mishnah Yud Aleph is going to begin by discussing two cases of a sukkah that were formed in such a way that it is actually impossible to tell where the wall ends and where the roof begins. It says the Mishnah, Ha'oseh Sukkaso Kimin Tzirif, that if one makes his sukkah like a teepee, basically you have a tent with sides that are sloping down in a diagonal way, right? He leaned a rows of valid tzchach material against each other, so that they slope toward the point at the top where they meet. Or if he leaned it against a wall, meaning he leaned the wall of valid tzchach material against an ordinary straight wall, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, posel mipnei she'ein lagag. Rabbi Eliezer ruled that the sukkah is invalid in each case because it does not have an actual roof. But since there is no way to actually distinguish between the roof of the sukkah and the wall, the slope is regarded as one long wall, leaving the sukkah without a roof. However, says the Mishnah, the Chachamim Machshirin, but the Chachamim rule that it is valid because, in their opinion, part of the slope can be viewed as the wall and part as the roof. As the Bartanor points out, we actually hold like Rabbi Eliezer in this regard, namely that teepees and so on cannot be used as a sukkah because you have to be able to know exactly where the wall ends and where the roof begins. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss another machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer regarding a sukkah. It was taught earlier in Mishnah Dalid that anything capable of becoming tameh is pasul as schach, is not going to be valid as schach. Now a mat made of reeds that can become tameh only if it is intended to be used as a mat on which people sit or lie down. There is no question that a small reed mat is used for that purpose and therefore can become tameh. The halacha of a large reed mat, which is usually used in order to provide a person with shade, is subject to the following machlokas. Says the Mishnah, Machatzeles konim gedola, asa l'shchiva mikabeles tuma v'ein misakchin ba. If one made a large reed mat for lying down on it, it can become tuma, and it may not be used as schach. That people do not generally sit or lie down on a large reed mat, therefore it is incapable of becoming tameh, and it is therefore going to be kosher to be used as schach, unless the owner said that he's making or designated it specifically for that purpose of lying or sitting on it. Now, a small reed mat, on the other hand, is used for lying down, therefore it's capable of becoming tameh and unfit for schach. Says the Mishnah, L'sikuch mesachin ba ve'ina mekabelas tuma, unless, of course, the owner said that he's making or designating it to be used as shade, in which case it may be used as schach and does not become tame. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, however, a large reed mat is the same as a small one. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, achas ketana v'achas gedola, whether the mat is small or whether it is large, asa l'shchiva mekabelas tuma v'ein mesachin ba. It was presumably made for lying down on it, therefore it is potentially does potentially have the ability to become tameh and may not be used as schach lesikuch mesachin ba veina mekabelus tuma, unless the owner said that he's making or designated specifically to use as shade, in which case it may be used as schach and it does not have the potential to become tameh. Continuing now with Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Now this Perek presents more halachos about the mitzvah of living in a sukkah, and the first Mishnah here in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, is going to give us a machlokas about a person who sleeps under a bed that is inside a kosher sukkah. It says the Mishnah, Hayoshin tachas amita besukkah, lo yotza yidei chavaso, that a person who sleeps under a bed in a valid sukkah has not fulfilled his obligation of living in the sukkah. As the Bartanura told us, many times the primary mitzvah of sukkah is to eat, drink, and sleep there. And although the Mishnah mentions only sleeping, the same halacha would apply to one who eats or drinks under a bed as well. Continuing in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion, Noah gin hayinu shahayinu yishenim tachas hamita b'fnei hazakenim. It was our custom, was our minhag, that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah in the presence of the older people, of the elders, of the chachamim, v'lo amru lana davar, and they did not say anything to us to tell us that this was wrong. Therefore, it seemed to be the one who sleeps under a bed does, in fact, says Rabbi Yehuda, does in fact fulfill his obligation. Now Rabbi Yehuda holds, like we had discussed in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, that a sukkah is in fact considered to be a diras keva, a permanent structure. Now a bed on the other end is just temporary, since it is moved from one place to the other. Now says the Bar Tanura, because the bed is temporary and the sukkah is meant to be permanent, the roof formed by the bed has no significance compared to the schach of the sukkah, which is permanent. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, one who sleeps under the bed is still considered to be in the sukkah, and he would fulfill his obligation. However, the Tana Kama, and this is who we actually paskin like in this case, is of the opinion, again like we said earlier, that a sukkah is meant to be a diras arai, a temporary structure, and just like the bed. Therefore, since the sukkah itself is temporary, its chach is not going to disregard the roof of the bed and make it insignificant. Someone under the bed is therefore viewed as being sheltered by the bed, which creates a barrier, a separation between him and the chach of the kosher sukkah. Continuing in the Mishnah, as the Bar Tanura tells us, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and we pass like the Tana Kama, namely that a sukkah is considered to be a dira sarai, a temporary dwelling, and therefore by sleeping under the bed, you're discounting the temporary. You're sleeping under one temporary dwelling, which is in another temporary dwelling, which would make the entire thing completely puzzle. The Mishnah is now going to tell us a story that supports the opinion of the first Tana of the Tana Kama. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, there is a story in which Tavi, the famous slave of Rabban Gamliel, he was sleeping under a bed in a sukkah. The Amar Lehen Rabban Gamliel, the Zakenim, and Rabban Gamliel said to the elders, to the Zakenim, Re'isem Tavi Avdi, have you seen how smart my slave Tavi behaves? Shehu Tamir Chacham Ve'yudea She'avad in Peturim in a sukkah. He's a Torah scholar, he knows Torah, and he knows that avadim kitanim, that non-Jewish slaves, are in fact potter. They're exempt. They're not obligated in the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah. It is a mitzvah asei shezman gram, a time-bound mitzvah. And in fact, only slaves, just like women, are not obligated in time-bound mitzvah. So he's not obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. Lefichach, therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, Yashin Hutachas Hamita. Therefore, he sleeps under the bed in order to make room for those who are obligated in sleeping in the actual sukkah. Ulefi Darkein Ulamanusha Yashin Tachas Hamita Lo Yotze Yidei Chavasa. And based on this comment which Rabbi Gamliel made as part of a regular, casual conversation, we learn in passing the one who sleeps under a bed in a sukkah has not fulfilled his obligation of sleeping in a sukkah. And like we said, that would include eating or drinking in a sukkah as well. Have a great day.